news, sports, AccuWeather, and more. Wake up with the information you need on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us here on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Center, our fabulous producer, so we always appreciate his help and hard work. Plus, when this interview's over, you get to go to WKOK.com, click on our podcast page, and guess what? The interview will be posted. In the studio with us now, Joanne Troutman is here, president and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley United Way. Welcome aboard.
Good morning.
Yeah, welcome back. Thank you so much for coming in. Is 2020 going to be sort of the peak of the busyness? I just see the United Way popping up on so many things, UPMC and post-wood mode and job-related things around here. Is this the peak of your activities these days?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I feel like we've hit our stride in some ways. We've got a great leadership team now. So we've spent, I've been at United Way almost 5 years, and we've spent our 5 years really building capacity, say adding staff, but adding program staff and really finding our niche. And I feel like we're there. It feels really good to be there.
And you have tons of buy-in from people and organizations and donors, of course, and recipients. But the United Way is such a significant force in the community now.
Thank you. Yeah, we have, at last count, over 500 engaged volunteers. And that's something I'm really proud of, because I think it's the role United Way should play, really being, and I hate the word broker because it sounds financial, but really being a broker, a relationship broker, connecting people, connecting organizations, and really, I believe that United Way doesn't have to do all the work. We've got a lot of wonderful people in this community and organizations in this community who partner with us to get the work done. And so I'm a big fan of partnership, and that's, I think, probably what I'm proudest of in my time at United Way so far.
Well, and I think municipalities often say they're going to use a local dollar to leverage an outside dollar, or maybe a grant dollar. Well, you do the same thing with human resources and volunteers. You end up with an unmet need, or a regional agency, or an individual that needs help, but you know of an eager volunteer or a dollar that exists or a donor or a fund. You're leveraging all this information and communication and effort and volunteers.
Yeah, I think we're big fans of public-private partnerships. Some of the organizations we work with, for example, Northumberland County is a big partner of ours, both, on the children and youth side, as well as on the law enforcement side. And the school districts is another example of that. We started an after-school program for kindergartners through second grade at Shikellamy in one school, and that has blossomed into, we have 150 kids in Shikellamy School District K through 2 program, every single elementary school. And that started with private dollars from the Degenstein Foundation. We partnered with them early on and said, this is where we feel we can really make a difference and demonstrate best practice. And we parlayed that into a multi-year 21st century learning grant from the federal government. It's a big deal.
And what do you do today when you run into maybe a skeptic who says, well, I think United Ways are perfect when they're a pass-through agency? Maybe they have a half a staff, half a person, half a full-time person, or an individual that oversees the collection of campaign-donated dollars and the distribution to designated agencies.
Well, I think that I think we've gotten to the point where we've proven that we can make an even greater difference in the community by leveraging collective impact. And I think we're slowly getting past that point, but there still are people. And I think I try to be very cognizant of the fact that our original mission was to really support other nonprofits in the community. And we still do that, but to be very honest, it's only about a third of the work we do financially. But I do worry sometimes that gets forgotten, because, again, we're not doing all the work. We support a lot of organizations, 36 agencies during this last fiscal cycle, with grants anywhere from $2,000 to up to $25,000. dollars. And so most of that comes from unrestricted dollars. And we forget that sometimes. And I think it's important to remind donors that those dollars are really important, because you're continuing to support the teens program in the community and Meals on Wheels and the Red Cross and locally and, you know, some of those agencies that are really make the world go round.
Trying to affect positive change, are making a big difference, not just donating a dollar, making a big difference, teaching people to fish, to use a reference rather than give a fish, but teach them to fish or mm-hmm. teach them to farm. But you guys, boy, you teach them to farm, you teach them to embrace and enjoy their neighbor, you teach them how to get to work at time, transportation, you're talking about that. Tell me again the various phases of United Way and the bold goals. You know, let's reiterate what some of these initiatives are.
Sure. So I think our foundational concern is connecting people with basic needs and making sure their basic needs are served. And this isn't just people living in poverty, but also the ALIS population, those working families who struggle to make ends meet. And when we talk about basic needs, that's food, shelter, transportation. So I think that's the first goal, is really creating and ensuring the longevity and the sustainability of that safety net. The second issue, and I would say this is our greatest financial investment, is early learning. We want to make sure that we improve third grade literacy through the implementation of pre-K programs and really early learning programs. And we consider early learning birth to eight, actually prenatal to age eight. So that's why when we talk about kindergarten through second grade programs, it doesn't just stop when a child goes to kindergarten. And we have to remember that there are a lot of kids in our community that don't have access or don't partake in early learning, you know, preschool type programs. And so they're coming to kindergarten and they're really struggling. So we support school districts and our early learning partners in that work. We're aiming to eliminate drug overdoses and teen suicides over the next 10 years. And a lot of that has to do with, obviously, mental health. And we can talk a little later about mental health and how important that is. We want to make sure that every teenager and young adult, and when I say young adult, this is up to the age of 24, is connected with school or work by the year 2028. You know, we're doing okay in Union Snyder counties. The percentage is lower than the national average, but Northumberland County, those statistics are about double the national average of what we call disconnected youth, people who aren't in school or are not working and are, you know, essentially on the books, not doing a whole lot. And so we do believe that a lot of that has to do with mental health as well.
And when you and the team set these goals, you come up with a timeline and benchmarks and progress reports, and
we have a whole
specific.
Yeah, we have a whole portfolio of work that we do. So each of these goals has actual SMART goals underneath it, and we constantly hone those benchmarks and those numbers, and constantly, you know, annually, if not more often, are monitoring those. And there are some things that are embedded in every goal, like our diversity and inclusion work. You know, we want to make sure that the most vulnerable people in our community we're paying attention to them and we're making accommodation for them. And that, I think, I consider that some of the most important work we do.
Tell me the state of families on the margin around here. This is this ALIS population, I believe.
This is the ALIS population, and we actually consider that population everybody living under the ALIS threshold.
The acronym again, please refresh my memory.
Sure. Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed. Really fancy way of saying people who are struggling to make ends meet, working and struggling to make ends meet. And when again, you know, you can be living in poverty and working. Most people that we encounter are working, but they might be working, you know, two or three part-time jobs, something like that. And so we're working on a comprehensive strategy, not just at United Way, but really with our partners like the community action agencies, the area agencies on aging, you know, those other organizations, to figure out how do we move people out of poverty into ALIS, and how do we move them up the ladder when they get into ALIS. And just to just to reiterate, I don't think that these, I talk about this all the time, these aren't mutually exclusive, you know. You know, we do these poverty trainings and think about mindsets and things like that. But I use myself as an example, somebody who really grew up in a very, you know, we were in poverty at one point in time and very working class family. And I would say our family solidly middle class now, but those thought, you know, those ways of thinking don't just disappear. And so you have to kind of think about what is the pathway for a family? What is the pathway for children who are in a family that might have lived in poverty and now we're trying to get them to think differently, maybe go to college or go to trade school or think about post-secondary education in some way? That can be really a real challenge in a family that needs their child to go to work when they graduate from high school, or a child who's working almost full-time and in high school. So it's all of those things that we're trying to approach from different angles. And again, that it's helpful that we have many, many volunteers and many, many organizations that are at the table.
In our area, are there fewer or more families in the ALICE category? We always hear about this booming economy, and that is certainly true for many, many, many people.
Mm-hmm.
But do we have more or fewer people in the ALICE population, these families on the margin?
Many. So our in all three counties that we cover, the ALICE population is higher, if not much higher, than the state average. Nearly 50% of people in our communities are living under the ALICE threshold. Union County actually has one of the highest ALICE populations in the state, one of the lowest poverty rates in the state, but the ALICE population is more than three times the number of people living in poverty. And we can get that data for anybody who wants it zip code to zip code, but the way we present it is more on a countywide basis. And so it's challenging, because these are people generally who do not qualify for government-funded programs. You know, they're affected by the cliff effect. So what that is, you know, you work to a certain point and then you lose all those benefits. And so in some ways, we incentivize people to not work. And I know that's a really controversial and difficult thing, and it's not an easy thing to fix.
All right. Well, we're going to keep talking about this appropriate period at the end of that sentence, because our first segment is done. But Joanne Trautman, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley United, we were talking about families on the margin. We've always called them around here, but ALICE even more clearly defines and places that segment. And we'll talk about the fact that there are more of those individuals in our valley today than there were last year. So we're going to continue that conversation. Also, we'll get an update on the United Way campaign when we come back at 7:40.
On the air at News Radio 1070 WKOK and online at WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunrise.
Thank you for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. We are right in the middle of our interview with Joanne Trautman, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley United Way. In our first segment, we talked about ALICE, the income limited. I'm bad at this. I'm on one of your outreach committees too. This is bad.
Asset limited, income constrained, employed. It's okay.
All right. Yeah, families on the margin. Not quite in poverty. Not quite to the bulk of the middle class mm-hmm. yet. But families that struggle, and we've all been there too. I think I can say. I mean,
oh, easily. Yeah.
And so the Greater Susquehanna Valley United Way, really pulling out all the stops to do what they can to not just give something to families that are on the margin here in this ALICE group, but to make sure that they get some skills and information and help where wanted, and learn about resources and things that are available.
Yeah, I'd probably define it more as a sort of life coaching in a way, you know, not just talking about the finances. You know, even in poverty, the financial piece of poverty is not, you know, or, you know, that's just one small part of it. It's about determining what someone's life goals are, you know, when you want to retire, where you see your life taking you, sort of some of those key things. And when you're living paycheck to paycheck, it's really hard to think about or envision what the future might look like.
All right. And so the United Way has a number of things, and we did talk about some of that in the first half of the show. The United Way campaign goal of over $1 million. You always seem as though you're halfway there when the darn thing starts. Where are we in relation to that?
Yeah, our goal is 1.2 million. We're right about a million. You know, we go through the end of February. We you know, it used to be that the United Way would raise money 2 to 3 months out of the year. We're year round now. So we're just like every other nonprofit. So I feel pretty confident we'll make it. You know, we're really just focusing now on getting those unrestricted and community impact dollars in so that we can provide as much as we can in grant dollars to our partner agencies, our funded partners.
Okay, so you want the world to know that the Great Assessment of Value in Any Way campaign is underway. You're looking for donors and pledges and helpers. And
yeah, absolutely. And you know, if your employer doesn't participate in payroll deduction for United Way campaign, you know, we'd love for you to advocate for that. You know, that makes it really easy to give. It's the way I give my gift to United Way. You know, you don't see it. I joke that I then can't spend it on shoes.
I'm not going to look, but you always have nice shoes. So
thank you. Yes.
Your personal treasure, some of that goes there, I guess.
It's a weakness, a character flaw, perhaps. yeah, so that or, you know, writing a check, every dollar matters. And this truly is, you know, I've been doing nonprofit work for a long time. And this truly is one of those organizations I can honestly say, you know, a gift is as little as, you know, $5 makes a big difference to people.
And you are the United Way president and CEO about 5 years or
yeah,
so?
Yeah, almost 5 years.
Okay. Did you know you would be this good at it?
That's very sweet. Thank you. I didn't expect to love it so much. You know, this has really been a labor of love for me. I love what I do. I love the people I get to work with. I feel so blessed. I really do.
Well, you and some of the people on your staff, unfortunately, you had a little bit of turnover, so I haven't met them all yet. But for the ones I know, you're the very definition of passionate, deep concern, caring. I'm trying to find precisely the right word.
We, you know, you can't do this work well. You can't do nonprofit work well unless you really believe in what you're doing. And I do feel so lucky to have found people who are really, truly, honestly passionate about what they do every single day. We've got a great team. And I'm not just talking about the people out there doing program stuff. They're wonderful. But even, you know, Cheryl and Steph, who are in our office every single day, love this work and love being part of it. And it's a really beautiful thing.
And Seth?
Seth is our director of development and marketing. Yeah. He's out there. He's new within the last year and just wonderful. I mean, he actually started with us as an intern. So we do hire a lot of interns, and we've been also very lucky. We haven't had to advertise because we just get the best interns. We're very lucky.
Mm, you raised him from a pup. Good for you. UPMC, United Way, and, well, maybe I'm just going to say you, kind of got in the forefront of the UPMC Susquehanna Sunbury closure and said, we got to talk about this and congeal people together to react.
Sure. It's really hard. You know, Sunbury is our home. We cover the entire greater Susquehanna Valley. But Sunbury's been our home since 1960s. And it's hard to see our community hurting. And I think we just kind of want to do anything we can to use our to really leverage that power of brokering relationships to explore any possibility. You know, we've been part of the Sunbury strategic planning with Jody Ocker that Jody has started. She's a Sunbury city manager. And we just feel that if there's something that we can do to be part of that and make something really positive happen and create positive change, we want to be at the forefront of that. And so Linda Culver is just all over it. She's our leader, and she is amazing and doing great things. And we're having lots of meetings and just really, really going down every path. And so we don't have any specific answers right now, but we do anticipate as the weeks and the months unfold, we'll come up with something. And we're really looking forward to turning this into an opportunity.
Well, I'm impressed. And I talked to one of your volunteers that's helping with this, and they said, we're looking at all the whatabouts. Right after it happened, everybody said, well, what about this, or why don't this, or what if, or maybe should, and all those are being looked at and examined and possibility and kind of played out, and I guarantee in a month from now that one of those whatabouts is going to occur.
I agree, and I think, you know, when you look at communities, and what's been interesting about my work is when you look at communities, be it defined as school districts or law enforcement or just a community at large, a community that has struggled or struggles with something, they're often much more creative and much more open to thinking outside of the box. You know, when things are going well, it's easy to sort of get stuck in that whole, this is the way we've always done it, and so why fix something that's not broken? Whereas, you know, you have a community that struggles, you know, with poverty or whatever you might struggle with, they're sort of saying, hey, let's throw some spaghetti at the wall. Let's figure out together how this can work. They're much more open to partnerships and thinking about the what if, and that's it's a great place to be part of that.
Well, yeah, a lot of people thinking big when it comes to that. You have another initiative, a youth mental health plan.
Yeah, this is a really big day for us, a really big week for us. We're releasing rural Central Pennsylvania Youth Mental Health Plan 2020. And our goal really is to eliminate teens' death by suicide over the next 10 years. And we have heard from virtually every partner that we have that youth mental health is the number one issue facing our community. I mean, mental health is the number one issue at large, but in particular, people are very concerned about our children and adolescents. More than one in three have reported on the PAYS data to, that's the Pennsylvania Youth Survey, feeling sad or depressed most days in the last 12 months. One in five adolescents reported having contemplated suicide, and one in 10 have reported having attempted suicide. Those are pretty alarming statistics.
Well, and suicide rates are up.
They are. You know, we've had so many heartbreaking situations over the last few years, and, you know, we've been just, I can't even say what it's like to have to be part of those conversations, how traumatizing that is after the fact, but sort of all over the map, everything from kids who struggled with some things, you know, families who've reported bullying to also children who perhaps we've never seen it, you know, people in their lives have reported, you know, we never really saw this coming. And so we need to implement holistic change. We need to do it together. The plan itself is 20 pages. And so I encourage you to go to our social media today, take a look at it, read it, let us know if you want to be part of a really big movement. I think it's, I'm working on a piece for the Daily Item right now about what my vision is for 2020, and sort of spoiler alert, I think my vision is that this year will be one of healing. I think it's time for us to come together. We've let things go too far, and there are way too many systems that are under-resourced. And I'm not just talking about money, I'm talking about people. You know, children and youth, for example, can get a really bad rap, but they've so many open positions because that work is the hardest work anybody will ever do.
Well, it's life-saving work, I hope. We'll put a link to that report at WKOK.com on our podcast page, mm-hmm. So it's right there. And we'll alert the news department that you're coming out with some information so they can look for it and locate it, read it, and just get on board in spirit or in actuality. Well, believe it or don't, we're down to a closing remark, your closing argument. Anything else to add for our discussion today?
I just want to say thank you. You know, thank you to our community. I have been, I'm blessed to do this work, and we are blessed to do this work. And I feel like I'm just part of a really big, loving team of people who, beyond our walls, are doing this work every single day. And it's hard when you're coming up on your 5-year anniversary to not be a little bit emotional and reflective. And that's sort of how I feel like I'm going into 2020, thinking about how lucky we are to live here. This is a great community. And there are wonderful people here. And I just really feel strongly that, you know, we're going to get there. We're going to make real change. And I have to thank you, Mark, because you're the one who convinced me to apply for this job.
Oh my gosh! Well, glad to catch up. Well, and honest to Pete, as long as we're on the topic, when your predecessor was leaving Carrie Albright, I thought, well, you can never really replace that because she brought passion and emotion and big thinking to the table.
She's an amazing person.
And look what you've done. You picked up where she left off. And you've invented some new things and amplified and multiplied everything that was happening. So
we stand on the thank you. We stand on the shoulders of giants. I believe that.
Happy 5-year anniversary.
Thank you.
GSVUW.org if you want to follow up on any of the topics we talked about.